Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. Pamela Perkins is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Pam is founder and CEO of Human Communication Institute. She's a graduate of the Communication School of that great university, University of North Carolina, and also the New York University. She is the author of The Art and Science of Communication, and she's joined us in the past many times to talk to us about how to do a better job of communicating. We all can improve ourselves in this area, even me. Pamela Perkins, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. Look, we have a long way to go to get to where you are, but thank you for including me in that number.
It's good to have you here, Pam. And now, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is communicating beyond, not just across, but beyond the cultural divide. Now, tell us what you mean when you say cultural divide.
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure your listeners are constantly aware of the so-called cultural wars in our society and, you know, the fact that we continue to be polarized in the way that we view life. And sometimes that polarization crosses the cultural divides that we all live in, whether it's class divides or race divides or mm-hmm. gender divides
or religious divides.
Or religious divides, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, even our president is traveling the globe right now trying to deal with this cultural divide that we find ourselves in, and this one particularly along religious divide. So it is a very serious issue for us, and at the Human Communication Institute, we are always trying to do our part to bridge the cultural divide through the very means that God is giving us to do that, and that mm-hmm. is through communication.
Well, you know, Pam, the president, President Obama, and I have different views on certain policy issues,
mm-hmm.
as every president has had with me. I haven't agreed with any of them 100%, but President Obama and I certainly do. But I have said many times that he has an opportunity to bridge this divide in a way that perhaps no president ever before us has been able to do that. Of all the things that I hope he doesn't squander, and we have every president we've had has left some good things on the table they could have done.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he doesn't squander that. I hope he does a good job of using his unique position, his unique situation in the history of our country to help us bridge this divide.
Well, you know, the thing that's so interesting, and I definitely concur with you that, you know, from where we sit, it's almost impossible to say that we have a 100% in a 100% agreeance with anyone on the world. I'm sure you're not even 100% agree with your wife or your
On
a day to day basis, in terms.
I always agree with her, Pam. Life is so much easier that way.
When you do.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I wish I could.
See, that's an example. That's an example where, you know, where there's, you know, there's no quarter. So, but go ahead.
But, you know, the point that I want to make here is that when we start to examine the world view that has developed over world history and how people see life and the way that they look at things, we have to honestly sit back and say to ourselves that, you know, it is not easy to sometimes bridge that gap with people that have grown up under different ideologies and thought
right.
patterns, economic patterns. President Obama, as well as any dignitary in this world, has a great deal of responsibility when it comes to trying to reach out to people that have not grown up with the same sets of values that we have here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We have very specific values, and he is there, as all of our politicians and representatives are, to represent those values that we find within ourselves to be the best of who we are. And that hasn't always translated in the best way, where there have been wars and other aspects of history that, you know, we would rather not replay again in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So, you know, every day I pray for him, and not just for him, but for all the leaders of the world to be able to find the wisdom that Solomon once had to navigate such a very difficult and complex world.
Well, aren't there certain states of mind that we need to get into to be able to accomplish this? I think about the concept of tolerance, sincerity, honesty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you really believe that you're going to be an honest broker in the debate on bridging the divide, the cultural and the religious and the racial divides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to say, okay, if I'm going to pull this off, I've got to go into this exercise with honesty.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to go into it with sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to go into it with tolerance. And those are three things that if I love me and I think I'm pretty cool and I think I'm pretty smart and everything I do is the best, you know, it's not always easy to get to accomplish those three things: honesty, sincerity, and tolerance. What do you think?
You're very right. And when we're not able to accomplish those three things, what happens is that we move into an area that we call ethnocentrism. And
yeah.
Ethnocentrism, as you know, is feeling that our way is the best way and the only way. And it's not that we should not be patriotic and nationalistic in the way that we view ourselves, because basically we can't help but be that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we have to understand that those neighbors that we look at across the water have those same types of feelings of patriotism and nationalism, and we have to find a way to say that you are allowed to see the world the way that you see it. I'm allowed to see the world the way that I see it. What we need to do is to make sure that we do not oppress one another in that vision, and that we don't squander the limited resources of the world in our efforts to live together on the planet. And
right.
And what we're seeing now, because with this economic downturn that we've taken globally, we see just how connected we all are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And the need that we have to all come to the table and sit down and say, you know what, we really are one people, so to speak, even if we worship different gods, we pay different money.
The thing that I've noticed as I've traveled around the world, regardless of skin color, regardless of religion, regardless of culture, is how similar, how alike human beings really are. And I mean that with all my heart, folks. I've seen this across the country, across the world, and we're more alike than we are different. 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with our good friend Pamela Perkins. She's the author of The Art and Science of Communication and Tools for Effective Communication in the Workplace. And that's P.S. Perkins. That's the name of the book. And by the way, folks, if you get a chance, check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and go there and use all the things that we have there to your advantage. Hundreds of Brain Trust members, thousands of archives, thousands of articles, the blog, the newsletter, the knowledge base, lots of stuff there, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jim Blasingame. Pam Perkins, give us your website and tell us how we can find your book.
Yes, we're at www.hcihumancommunicationinstitute-global.com. hci-global.com, hci-global.com. The Art and Science of Communication can be picked up at any major bookstore, or amazon.com is always very reliable. And I also have a new book that came out, Jim, just a few months ago, where I am a contributor to a book called The Laws of Communication. And this is a great book specifically for organizations, all different types of organizations, talking about the process of assessing communication and going from the red light to the yellow light to the green light of go in communication. So I've been very happy to be a contributor of that book, The Laws of Communication.
The Laws of Communication, that's available wherever books are sold, too. Well,
yes.
Good for you. I'm glad to see that you're doing this, and I'm glad that you're continuing your work on communication. We need so much of this. And, you know, one of the things that I think I'd like... I was talking as we went to the break about how similar human beings are.
Yes.
When you and I are together, we're just human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the ability to be honest and to be, as I said earlier, and to be authentic and tolerant. But for some reason, I think sometimes, you mentioned leaders earlier, I think leaders get in the way of our sociability. Don't you? I mean, don't you think that shouldn't, you know, I prefer not to take my cues on communication with people who are different from me from any leader. I prefer to do it on my own. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a very good way to look at it, and let's hope that we are adopting leaders in our culture that will encourage all of us to do the same.
But some leaders, there are leaders of some organizations, you know, the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, you know, whatever group it may be, there are some leaders who don't serve those communities well. And I encourage people to think about, you know, to take each person that you're dealing with on face value. Take them as you see them, not by, you know, if Republican or Democrat, black, white, purple, whatever. Mm-hmm. Take them that way, not through some stereotypical thing, you know, that maybe you've determined that, you know, you... I think stereotypes are really dangerous.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I think I agree with you wholeheartedly. We need to take people on face value. And yes, a lot of time the social media gets in the way. Social media, cultural media can get in the way of us really making inroads with our neighbors, our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people living in our communities. You know, sometimes I travel around and I see our schools are becoming more homogeneous, as opposed to the heterogeneous nature of our communities.
Mm-hmm.
I see sometimes our churches, you know, they say that churches are the most segregated places.
11 o'clock is the most segregated hour in the week.
Even though we say that most of us are serving the same God. So it is a road that we really do need to travel. And one of the things that we do at HCI is that what we try to do is work with people concerning their internal communications, where that we call this intrapersonal communication, where those stereotypes and those prejudices are built. Help people to recognize the foundation that they built those prejudices upon, and to see themselves and to try to look beyond themselves and understand that self-talk that we're often feeding ourselves comes from some of the negative leaders or energies in our communities that we take on ourselves. And then from there, we go into the interpersonal relationships and our small group relationships. And as you know, at the top of the communication staircase is intercultural communication that we place as the highest form of communication an individual can get involved in, because this is where we meet all of creation, where we meet all of the diversity that is such a wonderful part of this planet. But you can't get there, Jim, if your first step, that communication with yourself, is filled with stereotypes and, like we said, ethnocentrism and prejudice and bigotry. As an African American, it's important to me, one that's grown up in the early history before the civil rights movement, it's very important for me to look at my brothers and sisters, no matter what their color, black, white, red, and say, I want to see you as an individual. I don't want to see you based on the history that I've lived in my early life in this country. I want to understand that that is a circumstance of my...
What you're talking about, Pam, is you're talking about dealing with people based on where we can go in the future rather than where we've been in the past. And that's a big hurdle a lot of people can't get over, isn't it?
They can't get over it, and I have to be honest. It's been hard for me in some circumstances to get over.
Yeah.
But I pray and I focus and I look at my brother as I am his keeper.
Yeah,
it's important.
Pam, the book is called Art and Science of Communication. P.S. Perkins is the name of the book. We call her Pamela because she says we can do that. Pam, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. We'll see you next time. Pamela Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back with Maria Coyne. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.